I have one pair of friends who have raised a family, often on practically no money at all, but they have always had just enough for what was needed. Their virtues include building their own home, planting, harvesting and preserving their own food, putting their children through home school till the end of 7th grade, and putting aside a certain dollar amount each and every monetary payday for charitable giving. It has always been my opinion that one reason they have always had plenty is that they have kept the energy moving fearlessly. Certainly they have taught their children good values of hard work rewarded by satisfaction and in their case, a wonderful place to live, but they have taught much more. By the way, they never have hung on to their money, but rather have seen themselves as links in a spiritual chain of giving. There is the example of the man who was extremely virtuous in observation of each and every commandment, yet when this seeker asked the teacher known as Jesus what more he could do to follow him, the one known as Jesus suggested that this wealthy man sell all that he had and thus be free. This parable has made entities which have a comfortable living nervous ever since these words were heard and written down. The parable is not so much about money or other kinds of wealth as it is about one's relationship to that which comes and goes. The body, for instance, is born and dies, yet it is not prideful to care for it, that it may be comfortable and serve well. So with one's estate and life, it is not a crime to conserve one's wealth and to so use it that one is comfortable. Yet, if one wishes to hold on to the body by avoiding getting old or avoiding death, then there is the question of what takes precedence, the body or the soul. With the wealth of money or power, this same question holds true. Is there the relationship of conserver or steward with wealth, so that it be used prudently or with charity, or is there the grabbing onto or owning the wealth or influence? If there is the latter, then there are some possessions to be sold so that you may follow the mind which this instrument often calls Christ consciousness. 6. It is hard sometimes to resist the temptation to be grabby with money and supply. Money changes everything, the song goes, and we all know what that means. The money to go first class will not make us happy, but it can offer us creature comforts which are very pleasant. As in so many spiritual concerns, it is finding that balance between prudence and stewardship on the one hand, and relaxing into the rhythm of supply and met needs on the other hand, in thinking of money that is the goal. And further, we can become artists with it, and use the issue as one more way to extend our 306, chapter 10, societal issues process of seeking. Like virtually any concern, the issue of money offers an avenue whereby the spiritual seeker can learn about himself. The illusion of separation exists so that each portion of the one creator, the personality that each of you is, may have the opportunity to explore, within the one creator's boundless fields, the opportunities for discovering love and service to each other, though these may not seem to be the primary purposes for which each was incarnated. The illusion offers many other alternate answers for why each is here: to gather wealth, to be powerful, to do this or that great thing. All of these are but means by which each entity may find the heart of love and unity within itself. 7. Wanderers have a tendency not to be particularly handy with money, although this, like all generalizations, cannot be held as true in all cases by any means. Here is an example of those who have written in, talking about this issue: I have never felt a need to accumulate wealth or goods to meet an inner drive, but have always felt intuitively that pursuing things of this world was not worthwhile. Of course, the Sermon on the Mount likely buttressed this concept, especially Matthew 6:24. One cannot work both sides of the street. 25 years ago, a psychic in Southend, England, told me that I would never be in need of money, the supply was assured. My life since then is confirmation of that prediction. She said I would have other troubles. True also. 8. The quote she cites from the Gospel according to Matthew is to the effect that we cannot serve both God and Mammon, Mammon being a personified Greek demigod of money and wealth, named from the Greek word for wealth, Mammonas. One thing that rings true about money to me is that it is part of the lesson plan of our lives. We were not all destined to have the same amount of this world's comforts. We all did come, however, with an equal amount of love to give and to discover. Within your illusion, depending upon how you have chosen to learn the lessons of love, you will find what you consider to be shortages of power, money, influence or love. In far, all of these shortages are some distortion of love and may be viewed as opportunities to discover the true nature of love. If you do not have enough money, you may find that your discomfort distress you from seeking. But if you exercise another point of view, you may find that your lack of abundance has produced a simplicity that frees you to love. 9.307, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Whatever our destiny for supply, there is virtue in accepting the amount we have and finding a way to live on it and to express generosity with it, with peaceful hearts. Each has designed for himself a special incarnation offering powerful experiences of lack and plenty, pain and peace. If you have little money, think not that you do not deserve more. If you have much money, think not that you deserve less, but whatever your environment, fill it with your love of the Creator and allow that love to reach to the infinity of the Creator's laughing face, that His light may shine infinitely through you, that you may become plenty to others. Money is relevant in your illusion. Enjoy it if you have it, seek it if you must, disregard it if you can, but manifest plenty and the consciousness of love. 10. Money is the symbol of love which has been developed by humans to facilitate the movement of goods and services. Its green energy is an illusion within an illusion. The illusion closer to reality is love. Now, let us look at the values of your culture. The emphasis is always upon that which carries what this instrument calls the green energy of money. Some have more, some have less. Needless to say, this is an illusion, for all things belong to the one infinite Creator, and as you give and as you receive, you are simply moving the energy around. 11. So much of the power that seems to move our culture is artificial. Let us, in our use of money, remain in real relationship with the energy that is the essence of supply, the infinite love of the one Creator. If we can see supply's infinite source with faith, and if we are generous with whatever we have and keep the energy moving, we will always be able to find our way. As in any generalization, this statement leaves out those who may have fallen through the cracks of the society, who have not eaten today and who do not have a shelter to cradle their sleep this night. If so, I pray that help may be found, and that right quickly. I sincerely hope that one day soon food and shelter will be the right of all who take breath on planet Earth. Work. When I think about this above work, my mind immediately moves to two immensely different quotations. One is spoken in the mournful voice of the preacher of the Book of Ecclesiastes in the Holy Bible, 308, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. What advantage does man have in all his work which he does under the sun? A generation goes, and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. 12. The other, contrapuntal voice is that of Khalil Gibran's in the persona of the prophet, "Work is love made visible." And if you cannot work with love but only with distaste, it is better that you should leave your work and sit at the gate of the temple and take alms of those who work with joy. 13. A good many wanderers find the first of the quotes very much their theme, as these two do. I struggle with having a real job. They feel like prison. I just want to serve. I don't want to worry about money. I would work my whole life long helping others, but I get stuck in the complexities of dealing with third density. 14. I couldn't buy into 40 hours a week, working to be miserable and have the American dream stuff. Just because I didn't think in culturally / societally accepted terms and buy into the getting married, having kids, and working. 15. The time it takes to develop a good, sound idea of what work it is that we truly want to do is often far too long to suit people who want us to be all ready to come to grips with working by the time we are out of school. Often, spiritual seekers in general feel quite hapless about their real career, overaged and undercommitted, but not wanting to hurry the process. My biggest dilemma is that I'm what is called a late developer. I'm at an age where most people are married or at least settled in a career or profession. It's viewed as a dilemma because I'm not following the expired social constraints which, I realized long ago, that I didn't fit into. 16. And sometimes, we seem to be in a period where work is just never going to come together for us, I have been laid off twice from companies that have downsized, right-sized, whatever. Is someone trying to tell me something? So I decided this time to do things differently. Instead of going out and doing what I have always done, I would try teaching, coaching others. I am a wonderful motivator of others. People get excited when I talk to them about 309, Chapter 10, Societal Issues, Their Potential and How They Can Change Their Lives. Finding the context in which to do this is the problem. I also have a problem with making money doing this. I think learning about spirituality should be freely given, yet we all need to eat. The point is, unemployment checks are getting ready to end and I have not moved forward into any arena that will meet my financial needs, much less my spiritual ones. 17 Certainly there are many reasons we can feel discouraged about working for a living. Perhaps our current training qualifies us for nothing but low-paying jobs, and we feel unappreciated and underpaid. Perhaps we feel we are trapped in the wrong job for us by its good pay or benefits. Perhaps we would rather be studying or farming or on permanent retreat. But we will most likely need to be employed for most of our lives in order to support our food and shelter habits. We need to have a way to look at work that helps us to cope with our necessity for continuing to be a part of the workforce. For me, that way is Gibran's way, seeing work as love made visible. 252, a metaphysically oriented healthcare specialist, says, "One thing you said about our central mission being to channel or pass the divine energy through us, I feel that I am able to do that. In far, I feel that that is my purpose. It is challenging to always do this in the setting of a hospital because it gets very stressful at times, just due to the nature of the environment. Do you have any comments on how to do this even in the most pressing and stressful environments, when you have to hurry around even when you don't want to? Am I in the wrong environment?" 18252 is very much in her right environment, and making the most of sharing her natural gifts, as I assured her. The best of jobs can often feel challenging, and it is easy to question if we are in the right place in our own processes. Spiritually speaking, I think there is virtue in seeing the present job, career or good work as being just right for us at this present moment, and then, if we are doubtful, looking into just what lessons of love, forgiveness and patience are being offered us along with the chance to produce whatever we are employed to do. For beyond the type of work involved, all work is an expression of ourselves, an essential prayer. It has been said, to work is to pray, and for those lucky enough, shall we say, to have found occupations which enable them to supply themselves with the necessities of survival which also feed the spirit, this is in the deepest sense true. You may find these people working with their hands to make beauty, working with their minds as channels of various forms of love, working among people in such a way that, there, 310, Chapter 10, Societal Issues, Very Being is of service in a substantial manner. But for so many, my friends, the Kayan between the daily life and love, between Arayan and meditation, is not apparent. And in order for you to become able to link in any way the work of empty form which you find yourselves performing and the work which is love, it is recommended that you begin with the meditation rather than with the work. 19 Moving in mind from thinking about our work as an empty form to seeing it as love is a powerfully enabling and energizing Arayan which frees us to see whatever work we do with real pride. I think this is central in thinking about working for a living. I have had some very entry-level positions in my life, as barmaid and motel clerk. I have also worked as a tax preparer, accountant, librarian and researcher, as well as the writing I do in correspondence and composition for the Book Pro S. As the copy machine operator for the university, my very first professional job, I earned all of $1 per hour. No one in the United States can claim more humble beginnings, or lower pay, and believe it or not, I did live on what I made at that dollar an hour rate. Needless to say, I had to depend more on the good fortune of the universe than at a later date when I could afford medical care and insurance, not to mention furniture, gadgets like television and telephones, and more than one room to live in. But when I was there I loved my one room, and it was a good home. I was happy living on what I made. I felt quite service-oriented. A clerk or machine operator can work with an attitude of striving for excellence, as opposed to merely getting the job done, no matter how simple the work. I greatly enjoyed doing the job as well as I could, stapling my bundles of copy with great precision. Perhaps my most service-oriented job of all time, self-perceived, would be the barmaid job. Like my present job of corresponding with wanderers of all shapes and sizes, the job put me in touch with a large number of lonely people who felt grateful when I found the time to sit with them and converse. I never felt more appreciated in my life than at the ale-soaked bar where I worked that one college summer, carrying beer, listening and sharing. No matter what job we have, we can see it as the outer work, which is the form of the job, hiding or partially revealing the essential form of the job, which is learning about the self and doing work upon the self in terms of developing polarity in service to others, if it is seen that one's own life is a gift which is going to be created by the self by life's end within this density, then it may be seen that whether one had an expiated or an unexpiated outcome for training, the ill work lay not in results, but in attitudes and biases which have been gained during the training, and that this process would go on. 311, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. Regardless of the outer circumstances changing by apparent success or apparent failure. 20. To be proud of our work, then, we can well focus not just on what we are doing, but how, with what love and care, we are doing it. I can remember working as a research librarian in Vancouver, at Simon Fraser University, in 1968. It was a professional position, but deadly dull, consisting of looking up Library of Congress catalog card references in the very heavy, oversized DELC books furnished by the university. It was necessary to stand and look down at the big books, and continually to heave one up and another down for examination. I trust technology has moved this work to the computer, where it has to be greatly easier to do. The other librarians in the department had a real morale problem, but my ethical nature stood me in good stead. I just challenged myself to look up each requested reference with a happy heart and a zeal for absolute accuracy, that being the essence of the job, to get it right. Within 4 months, I was being singled out for promotion to a much higher position. The positive attitude and the accuracy of my output had been noticed. We can invest our work with dignity and meaning, even if we are processing data for which we do not see much use. To do anything well, courteously and exactly is always a delight to me. If the work is easy enough, it also becomes a chance to meditate. Now that takes me back to the photocopying job. While sorting 30 copies of a 50-page document, I could move into a beautiful, blissful meditative state that lit up my workday. The point here is that work is not just about status or money. Work becomes the great work when we realize we are working on our life. The difficulty in recognizing one's true work seems to stem from that distorted value which your peoples place upon that tool of power which your peoples call the money. It is assumed that that which is done in exchange for money is that which is the work, and it is assumed that, therefore, even when one is not receiving money for something, one may still be in a training period for some time, but after a certain time it is assumed that the work itself shall begin. Such is the distortion which money has created among your peoples. It is our opinion, and we stress that it is opinion only and is not an irreducible truth, that the only work which may be called the work of any entity is that work done in consciousness during an incarnational period which has a net result, as judged by the self after the incarnation, of polarizing the entity more and more strongly towards service to the Creator and to others. Thus, life is the work, and work is the life. 21, 312, Chapter 10, Societal Issues. This wanderer shares her vision of work as an opportunity for growth. We raised 5 amazing children together, including twins. We've also been through hell together. We lost a home to scoundrels once and another to fire. We were flooded out of one and lost one to poverty. We've owned several businesses, been rich and been poor, and started completely over from scratch financially twice. We have both had several career changes, which have given us a wide variety of experiences. I have loved every minute of my life and am so grateful for the opportunities for growth. 22 The voice of experience and the voice of youth here agree most harmoniously. I would offer the thought that all lines of work are equal, if they are done with equal love, and that if one person is doing a humble chore with love and compassion, and a second person is doing a lofty task with scorn and cynicism as well as outer competence, the first person is doing more important and better work in the metaphysical sense, whatever the human opinion might be. Russell Louis agrees, the path of service is not an easy one. During the Piscean Age, the student, teach roles were very well defined. To be of service usually meant to be in a religious, teaching or leadership role. Today, in the Aquarian Age, to be of service can mean pumping gas and spreading love while just being yourself. One doesn't have to have a degree, following or be able to channel to be of service. The definition of service for the Aquarian Age is to offer from the heart at all times. This means being true to oneself in all our ions and never forgetting our Kriyan to the one infinite creator. It doesn't matter if one is teaching a new age class at a local free school or being a pro-duan manager on an assembly line. 23 The concept of working as service to others excites many wanderers. I thought about why I like my current job, and it all boils down to helping people. 24 I have tried this and tried that, having no great difficulty in switching careers every 4 years and picking up almost anything from composing music and supporting myself as street singer, to working in hospitals, restaurants, as department store detective, sales manager, computer programmer, international consultant, teaching Tai Chi and meditation, and even running my own private company. So what, I have always, 313, chapter 10, societal issues thought, I have no investment in any levities as such. Whatever currently offers me best possibilities for provoking people into feeling better with their lives, I'll have a go at it as long as it lasts. 25 Need advice on how to better your position? Here are two wanderers who recommend following our temperaments, our interests and our gifts. It was my wife Elaine, who goes by Elf, who suggested that I try the aid work in the nursing home. Having multiple health problems stemming from child onset diabetes, she had found that my calm and my energy helped her feel better. She thought I would be five with the elderly, and would find the work rewarding. She was precisely correct. She has always recognized my path of growth and happiness. 26 In my teens I experimented first with yoga, age 11 to 15, then Ua, age 13 to 16, and finally tarot, age 22 to 29 and again, now. I learned massage from my mother at age 12, a skill I have developed into combined massage and counseling, intuitive massage, chakras and energy paths, and occasional kinta. Touch healing. I am at present studying and integrating crystal healing and reading into my skills. 27 Karen X suggests visualizing what we need, whether it is a home or a job that we are seeking. I wrote down what I wanted to manifest for housing after I landed a job and got pretty close. Which reminds me, that's what I need to do here. Write down the best scenario I can think of for being in this place where I now find myself. 28 Mary testifies that work in consciousness has the power to vastly improve one's working conditions. Back in 88, when I went to work for a big corporation, I was introduced to foremen, coordinators and group leaders on the pro-duan floor. One group leader would only speak curtly to me. I instantly knew that I was up against a tough old gal. Since I had a great deal of interaction with her, I decided I would fool her, and instead of returning the curtness, I smiled and spoke softly. It took a few months, but in the end, she was asking if I needed anything. It's amazing what a smile can accomplish, and I was amazed. 29 This is such an important point. Sometimes we are in a job to learn something. It may be a quality, such as forgiveness or patience. It may be that we, 314, chapter 10, societal issues are to learn the job, to understand how that particular job works, as a step towards another job down the road. I remember one particular boss I had, at the Speed School Engineering Library at the University of Louisville. For one very hard year, I was assistant to the head librarian there. She had never had an assistant in the 24 years since she had founded that library in 1941. I came in 1965. She had some well-developed habits which handicapped her. In an all-male school, she was afraid of and avoided men. She and the dean were at loggerheads over the then new computers. He wanted them in the library, and so did I. She did not. The dean even offered me her job, and her pay, if I could make her quit. How tempting that was, because it was very easy to upset this woman. However, I reasoned that this would not be professional behavior, or ethically cool, and so I passed up the chance, and contented myself with learning everything she knew. This she was very glad to pass along, as she had a reason for everything she did, and loved to explain it. After a year of apprenticeship to this old hand, I was able to land a challenging solo job at a private school as their school librarian and do the job really well. It is my favorite job, ever, that six-year period of getting their book Lions in Shape and relating to all the students each week, either in daily study hall or in special weekly classes, and the faculty as well. All the technical expertise I needed I had learned from the curmudgeon who could have been my enemy. If we are in challenging relationships on the job, it is well to work with them creatively and persistently before giving up on the job itself. Of course, sometimes it is time to move on. We may feel this on an inner level, or it may come out and hit us across the forehead, as when my violin playing friend, David, found his wrist too sore to play or to price. What was a concertmaster to do? I suggested that he see if there were other dirigents at work that would come to him in the next little while. Sure enough, he was soon offered a job at a leading conservatory, teaching gifted students, a position in which he still finds great satisfaction. Crystal Rose has a similar story. I worked in the medical field for a while until a heart arrhythmia stopped me, so I started searching and reading everything metaphysical I could. I also had to find some kind of work that I could do with this heart arrhythmia. I have always had a great love of crystals. So I opened up a small metaphysical rock and crystal shop in my home. It has been tough because the town I live in is very closed, but slowly they are beginning to open. Every day I say to the Supreme Being, send those that need the crystals and minerals, or just send those that need a friend to talk to. And some days I may only have one or two people, but I, 315, chapter 10, societal issues, hope the crystals enrich them and that I may be their friend. I spend most of my other time studying and in prayer, searching for the right truth. So you see, I am a fellow wanderer and I hope to find others I can communicate with. 30. What a good and balanced attitude. Do a really excellent job, and keep working on the self, in study, prayer and self-confidence. If we are bored, harassed or otherwise dissatisfied with our work, I certainly encourage the search for new work we can better love. But whatever we are doing, let us do it with pride, love and generosity, and we shall always find satisfaction in it, from our own processes, and from the people around us. Home, what an emotionally laden word home is. When we say the word, our thoughts often go to that mostly mythical place where we were nourished and nurtured in our childhoods, the place where Santa Claus came at Christmas, the place the tooth fairy came when we lost a baby tooth. Whatever our upbringing, the idea of home is for most of us the idea of a place where we are safe and secure. In an earthly sense, we may well have our struggles creating our own home as adults. As 285 report, I never lived any longer than 2 years in any one dwelling. One day I thought back and counted how many times I had moved during that 14-year period and I realized it was over 20. I yearned to create and live in a place that felt like home, but this didn't seem like something I knew how to do. 31. 282 concurs. At the height of the Depression, 1938, I left home, worked on a farm for a few weeks, and then, with two older drifters, hit the freights, boarding a Trans-Canada freight out of Mission City. Looking back on my travels by side door Pullman over the next few months, with all the hardships, near starvation, brushes with death by being locked into boxcars by the police, and being thrown off trains, I get a pleasant feeling about this rough experience.